When I look at Athalia, I see her as a near perfect illustration of the wiles of the enemy.
Mm.
Relentless, evil, with purpose.
Yes.
Her intentions were evil, but she had purpose. And she's just a perfect illustration of the enemy.
Yeah.
That's among us every day.
And how he works.
And how he works.
That's good. Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends. This is part two of a series we're doing on lesser-known women of the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search women in the search box. You can listen there online or tune into our podcast on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our homepage, you can do two things. First, fill in your email so we can send you all our Bible studies directly to your inbox. Also, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Can you imagine the fear? This is, the guards are going through the house, killing her family. That's horrifying. We hear these stories on the news that that's happening. This young woman stood up in insane amount of courage against her mother and, I'm sure, armed guards, and found a way to save this child. So that is worth pausing. Where does she get it from, Jan? I love that you were like, maybe her grandfather. You know, I hadn't thought about that. I'm going to go with that.
That she even had the presence
of mind
to think, well, I can save somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the middle of all of that.
Yeah, I know.
Slaughter.
It's pretty remarkable.
But that was planted in her at a young age. That doesn't come out of nowhere. Whether it's like, you know, like the mustard seed, it grows and grows and grows. Something had to influence her so young that when it came to the time that she really needed it, it really gave her the courage, because that's scary. You could go within yourself and just do what you normally do, or you could go outside of yourself and do the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So even seeing her being courageous is also having fear within itself.
Mm-hmm. Doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So more comments on that story?
I love in scripture when I can pull today out of it. Just like Allie was able to pull her situation. But when Jan said there was evil on the left and evil on the right, and I think of my husband teaching some of the kids that he can come home and tell me about, no names, obviously, but just situations. And it is evil on the left and evil on the right, but they're kids that have chosen to not do that, but rather to focus on how can they do good in the world and not follow that path.
This is what I was saying at the beginning, that if we look, we can see ourselves and the world today. It's so current.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm glad you lifted that up.
Going along with what Jan was saying, it was just that the fact that she, in her state of mind, when everything is, there's all this chaos around her that's happening. I feel like in if I was in the situation, my first thought would be to do everything I can to just not get killed. So any sort of form of action for justice would not be my first thought. It would be self-preservation. And she... it's almost like Jehosheba, right? She might have thought that for half a second, but she then risked herself and probably, in a sense, the life of Joash. Because if they had found him, they would have killed him.
Yeah.
But her probably thing was like, well, they're going to kill him anyway. So, and you're right. I don't know if she planned on revealing him later as king, if that was always part of the plan.
I can't imagine she thought that all the way through. I don't think she had a lot of warning this was coming down. Before I had my own kids, I was very protective of my nieces and nephews. And there's an indication that Joash is not the oldest. That indication is primarily found in the fact that probably the other children that were put to death were his siblings, which means that there were others. And if he was young, they were probably older. If you put it in that mental place, then she's watching her nieces and nephews get slaughtered. And she just, you know, you imagine she either grabs the baby or grabs the nurse who has the baby, and she finds a way to preserve his life. And then just in this verse 12 of chapter 22, it says, and he, and they're talking about Joash, remained with them 6 years hidden in the house of God while Athalia reigned over the land. There's so much in there too. That piques my imagination. I'm going to jump ahead and we'll come back to Athalia. But I wondered what you guys were thinking might have been happening during those 6 years. Like, draw a picture of that. So we'll come back to that. I want you to draw a picture of what you think was happening in those 6 years when she was hiding him. But I think we have to build to that. So is there more you want to say about that? Kay, did you want to say?
No, just when Aaron was talking and back to what I was saying, it just reminds me of when grandparents will take on the care of the child because the parents are not able to do it. Mm-hmm. That just reminded me of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to bounce off of what Aaron was saying. I don't think that this occurred like in a long period of time.
Right.
I think it occurred in the point of like she already had the mindset of I'm going to go kill all the heirs and we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could just imagine that she heard a lot of screaming.
Mm-hmm.
She heard a lot of that. So it was like an impulse of, yeah, how am I going to save myself? But also, how am I going to save him?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it was one of those things that she had time to plan.
I agree.
At all.
I agree.
Like it was one of those things of like the story of Moses. It's the fight or flight. And I see like that it was one of those things that she was hearing it happening, but also she had to act rather quickly.
I agree.
And then
that's why I think it's hard for us to say she had premeditated that he would return to the throne. I don't think that she thought about that. I think she was exactly what you said, fight or flight. She saved him and probably in the court, and we'll see. We're going to see how the Lord weaved it together because we're going to talk about who Jehoshaphat's husband was. And I think this goes again to influence inside a marriage and how that can be positive and how it can be negative. But first, let's put the other bookmark on Athaliah. You can read right after they say in verse 11, long live the king. I didn't want to put it in there because it's gory, you know, but I wrote in the homework, it did not end well for her. She was put to death moments after her grandson ascended the throne. But let's learn from these two women. Somebody sum up for me Athaliah.
When I look at Athaliah, I see her as a near perfect illustration of the wiles of the enemy.
Mm.
Relentless, evil, with purpose.
Yes.
Her intentions were evil, but she had purpose. And she's just a perfect illustration of the enemy.
Yeah.
That's among us every day.
And how he works.
And how he works.
That's good.
Because there was
self-involved.
Yes, self-involved. Everything was about her and what she wanted, and it didn't matter what it cost anybody. A perfect illustration.
Yeah, that's good. Does anybody have anything to add to that? I don't. It's really good. I think you're right. The thing that jumped out at me is just that she's super self-involved, manipulating the situation around her. And when she can't get what she wants, when she can't accomplish what she wants to accomplish in subtle manipulation, she just all out bulldozes the situation with murder and twice.
Okay.
Two murdering sprees over the course of several years. No regret about the first one because she came back to it. She's like, well, that worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's try that again.
And these children had her DNA in her.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
But then Athaliah, you think about Athaliah had the DNA of Jezebel. Go read the story of Jezebel. It's got a lot of rise and fall, but the good guy wins in the end.
I see a lot of fear in her. I see how fear can manifest itself to pride, and that sometimes that we do things like, yes, we're fearful, but she was fearful for herself. She was scared. She did all these things out of fear to self-preserve herself.
I think what you're saying is right, but tell me what you think specifically she was afraid of. I have an idea of what I think you're driving at, but I want you to say what you think. What do you think she was afraid of?
She wanted control.
Yes. I think she was afraid of losing
the control. Like,
yeah. And power and influence.
Yeah. And like as us, like when we're fearful of losing that control, we spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And if like with the enemy, like he feeds off of that. So he fed off of her fear. And then in turn, she was so blinded by that turned into self-pride because she didn't want to lose control of what she had.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a woman. And at that time, men reign. She would be nothing. If she had a man, then that man will rule over her. And if she wanted to be in control of everything, she had to be first. So she had to destroy everything because women really had no rights then.
Mm-hmm.
And within the fear that she had, it corrupted her heart and it made it so hardened that she was so blinded of what the truth was. It controlled her. So
do you guys see entitlement in her?
She feels entitled of that. Yeah.
Like she feels entitled to what? Like she's like, well, that belongs to me. So I'm just going to take that. I deserve that. So I'm going to take that.
I think that seed was planted in her mm-hmm. by her mother.
I agree. It's okay to vilify her. There's no good that we see in her in scripture. And that's hard for me to do. And I guess if I really dug deep, I would have sympathy for her because she was raised this way. It wasn't like she chose to be this way, although her daughter was probably raised a certain way also and made a different choice. So there's so much in there, like how much we choose of our family legacy and how much we choose to reject it for good or bad. I have an incredible big brother. It's just the two of us. He's just like the gold star boy, really. And I don't say that with resentment because he's so great and I love him so much, but I didn't always say that with lack of resentment. I mean, of course, he was 6 years older than me. He was so perfect, so perfect. And so I made a choice. I made an assessment. I observed the scene and I made a choice. I was like, well, if he's good, then I'll be bad, which I did really well.
That has to happen a lot with siblings.
You know what's crazy? I don't get into all my own stuff, but I never felt that from him. And I can't even say that I felt it from my parents. It was all observational. I was like, you know, observed that he got really good grades, that the teachers all loved him and that everybody just loved him. He was like student body president. Like he was that kid and he was super lovable. So it wasn't like he was spiteful about it, but I was just like, can I be that or should I just try to be my own different thing? So all I'm saying is, and that was the wrong choice to make, by the way, in case that wasn't clear, but I had a choice that my family raised me right and my brother was a good role model, but I made a different choice. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you had a dysfunctional family, Allie, mm-hmm. and you made a different choice. You're making a different choice. You're breaking free of the dysfunction. And I have people in my family, extended family, who I would say the same thing about, that they're saying, okay, I'm looking at this scene and I'm making an assessment. This is wrong and I'm going to choose something different. So we do have the power to make those choices because we do see that Jehosheba made that choice and we applaud her for that choice. We recognize that's hard to do. It's hard to become something different than what you've been raised. So don't we have to give a little bit of grace to Athalia if we say it's hard to be something different than what you've been raised? Yeah. That's all I'm going to give her though. I wrote an idiotic question, but you have to answer it because it's the same question I wrote of all the women. The second half of the question is kind of like a no-brainer. But the first question is, what do you think were her primary influences? And then what are the major life choices you would like to copy or avoid from Athalia? I know. It's easier to... So I started with like an easy one. So later in the Bible study, you have to answer. It's a little harder to answer. She's easy. What do you want to copy and what do you want to avoid?
I wish to copy nothing.
I was thinking the same thing. I wish to avoid all of the decisions that she made.
Well, her decisions, like, you know, if you turn it into good, she has a drive. She's a leader. You know, she has people that she's able to have follow. Mm. I'm sorry. I feel love for her. Mm. I really do. I do. Because, yeah, even in this world, there's a lot of evil and manipulative and horrible people in this world. Mm. But we need to give them some love. I feel really compassionate about her. She was lost, like lost. Completely lost. Mm-hmm. But she has such drive. She has such empowerment. You could tell that she's very self-disciplined. She follows through on her decisions. She is a woman with pride. But that pride could be manipulated. There's good qualities.
So you see she had some strong qualities she could have used for good.
Absolutely.
So you're saying you can dig deep underneath all the mess and say if she had used those things in a different way, she could have been a real force for positive.
There's things in her with all the death. You have to really peel this onion of like her character and her heart. You know,
I did not feel that for her.
I felt that for
her. I was really
her.
Struggling.
I really felt that for her because I was like that.
That's interesting, Ollie. You were talking about how she's prideful mm-hmm. and driven and all those things. Could she have elevated these things to idols? Could she have made these things idols? She made them her idols mm-hmm. instead of God.
Like if it
so, that's why she was so good at it.
If someone gave her the love and compassion and really softened her heart, if the Lord was introduced to her, well, I don't know what was going on with that, but her heart was so hardened. If that was then released and she submitted to the Lord, that would have been all used for him. But her heart was so hardened that it became to idols within herself. She has great qualities, but she used them for the wrong path.
I see your point. I see your point. Okay, let's describe Jehosheba in your own words. What did you put in the homework?
Courageous and patient.
Patient.
And that's a big deal. I guess Jehosheba was a young woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So youth is not patient. Yet she waited out the 6 years carrying the secret that she's protecting this kid.
I hadn't thought about patient. I thought compassion. You're right. Patience.
How about brave and where it says in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 22, he remained with them for 6 years, hidden in the house of God. So there had to have been faith there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great lead into the next question. Did you guys figure out who her husband was and what his profession was?
Yeah, he was a priest.
Yes, he was. So you can extrapolate that because it says Jehoiada and his sons anointed him. That would only have been a job that would be allowed to be done by a priest. And you can actually extrapolate that Jehoiada was a higher in the hierarchy of priests. He was up there because he did the political gathering that happened before he put the crown on the boy. So he did the work. He had the influence. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In verses 1-4 of 2 Chronicles 23, in the seventh year, he took courage and entered into a covenant with the commanders of hundreds, and then all those crazy names and all their jobs, and the heads of the fathers of the houses of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem, and the assembly made a covenant with the king. Jehoiada was the catalyst for that, which meant he had influence, which meant he wasn't a low-level priest. He was probably a higher-level priest. Mm. So, and let's just, to avoid confusion, I'm just going to quickly read 2 Chronicles 23, 8. Which says, the Levites and all the men of Judah did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. So lest it be that I'm making something up. The Levites, what are all the Levites? What's the profession of a Levite?
Priest.
Okay. So it says the Levites and all the men of Judah did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. So what does that indicate?
He's in charge.
He's a boss. Yeah. He's a boss. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he is the high priest, but he is... he's up there. So here we have an interesting dynamic. First of all, that's how we know, that's why the boy was hidden in the house of the Lord, because he lived with Jehoiada and Jehosheba, where they lived in the house of the Lord, which is a good place to protect a child. So tell me what you think the influence was there. What do you think the dynamic was there? How does this granddaughter of Jezebel end up marrying a good dude?
The Holy Spirit. The grace of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And really, yeah, the tapestry of God. He weaves together these things, right?
She had a lot of selflessness, though.
Oh, my gosh. Describing of course.
Her. Like,
of course.
I think that's important because she was very young and that could have been very selfish.
Yeah, I was selfish in my 20s. I'm not going to lie to you. But that like was a very self-involved age for me.
The
me
selflessness too. And, like, the motherly instincts that she had,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the influence of faith and the surroundings, and she had a lot of love and compassion for others other than herself.
Yeah. We covered a little bit who her primary influences were and what the choices were, so I'm going to skip that question. But what I don't want to skip is that just exercise in imagination, because we have a 6-year gap. It's like the gap in Jesus' childhood. My mind could go just into so many places, like what did he look like as a boy? What did he do as a boy? What are the games that he played? And there's another gap here that scripture doesn't give us, but I want you guys just to use your imagination for just a moment and tell me what you think those 6 years looked like for that accidental family.
I would imagine that Jehosheba and her husband were in a constant amount of fear from Athaliah and all the guards, because it says this while she was that he was hidden, Joash was hidden while Athaliah was reigning, was ruling the land. And so I could have just imagined like she's walking down the halls while Joash is hidden in a room, and Jehosheba's probably, you know, like over in the corner, like freaking out that Athaliah won't go into that room or something like that.
And what you just brought to my mind walking is the type of years those would have been under that reign.
It's not just like coasting, like. She would be in constant, like, I don't know, can imagine that she would have slept. She would have been in constant fear that this Joash kid would have been seen and killed. And then she would have been killed.
Absolutely.
That her husband would have been killed.
Absolutely.
Like,
I would imagine there was probably some conflict between her husband and her mother during those years, because
you think so?
She was not for the Lord and he was for the Lord. So many things you can let your imagination design into those 6 years, right? Yes. But we know that he turned out to be a good king. Some good things were woven in to this boy that time.
I think they were spending time teaching him about the Lord, teaching him the right way, molding him,
preparing him
in faith and preparing him for what would lie ahead for him. And if the 6 years, you know, why 6 years? Did they feel at that point that he was ready, that they had given him what he wanted? But I think that was probably a big part of it too, along with fear and along with whatever. I think they spent time preparing him.
I know that Chronicles is something you skip over a lot because you're, I don't know, it just feels like, I don't know what's up and all that. Names are intimidating. But again, to reiterate that he was a baby, it says in 2 Chronicles 24, he was 7 years old when he became king. So we know that he was a baby when she took him away, and then 6 years and he returned. And he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. That has his lineage, and he does repairs on the temple, which is good, right? We know that people who do the work of restoring the temple are viewed as good. But then when his, I don't want to say his father, but Jehoiada, the priest, after the death of him, then there's a section of how Joash sort of falls off the rails and does bad things. Go and read it. This is the purpose of this program, that you would actually leave here not with all the answers, but with a whole bunch of questions, and that you just dive into the Word and you go spend time in the Word. So just go read it. I'm not going to give you all the answers, and really I couldn't anyway, but it's a great story. Yep. So Joash's story is in 2 Chronicles 24.
Can I say something about how within the 6 years what it might have looked like? Because she also, if she was reigning, she also had to submit to the reign. She was walking on eggshells and being like, okay, I'm going to follow what you have to say because you are above us all.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't trying to overthrow her. There wasn't like the priests that were trying to like, let's go against her. It was more of like walking underneath the radar, mm-hmm. but also respecting her authority.
So let's talk a little bit about the political interplay that would have been in place.
Like, because that's what I'm thinking.
Yep. But I want to draw a more accurate picture than maybe what's happening. So as the daughter of the king, she would have lived in the royal home. That is not the same place as the temple. So when she married a priest, she moved to live where the Lord lives. And so this political interplay we saw with Jezebel and Ahab and the priests as well. And so there's a butting of heads when you're leading a country and you're not leading it in the way that the people of God indicate you should, there's a conflict. I don't know that she would have seen her walking up and down the halls all the time, although she would have been aware of her mother's sovereignty. It's more of a political tension between her husband and that camp and her mother and that camp. No question they were on the different sides of that part of history. And so you're right. A lot of tension would have existed, but she chose to live in that tension and teach him what was right. I don't know if she had other kids. I don't know. Okay, so we're going to move on to the wife of Job, but I just wanted to play with that a little bit in our imaginations because I just like to think about the Bible and things that happened to it. That's my favorite bedtime story. We're so glad you listened today. We really believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you go deeper in understanding and relationship with our Lord Jesus. We really hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. During this series, we'd like to send you a book called All the Women of the Bible, which is a resource I used when writing this study. I like the book because it has a complete list of every woman that appears in the Bible, but it also takes a creative look at a selection of these women and what their story might be teaching us. We'd like to send you that book for a donation of any amount. That's studywithfriends.org/donate to donate online, and you can just note lesser known women of the Bible on your check or in the note provided online. Honestly, hearing from you in any way makes our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. Sometimes we even send you a little gift just for emailing us. So if you are blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. And please make sure to include the station you're listening to. That helps us a lot. We strongly believe in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.